Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. It's Mitzi, and today is May 19th, Tuesday. For my faithful followers, I did not have a show last week, so I am sorry that if you tuned in to listen to that I was not there. A lot happened to me in a week prior to Tuesday that caused me to have a broken heart myself, and just to be totally open and honest, I was not able to do the show because I would have been speaking out of a wounded heart, and I needed time to understand what had happened and to process for myself and to heal and to just to spend some time with God, because I really want this show to be godly, and I, God whispered this show into my ear, and He's very passionate about your heart. God is in love with you. Jesus came for the brokenhearted, and He just has proven that to me time and time again. So if you're a new listener, you can listen to the archived shows, and it explains my own background and past, and people are always welcome to send me messages on healingheartshisway.com website. Still under construction. I'm getting there. I have a beautiful soon-to-be daughter-in-law that is helping me with that, and she's been really busy with her wedding. But Jessica is helping me with that, so that's even going to take on a new level real quick here. But for tonight, I would like to begin by praying, because I do want our Father to place His hands on this show and just guide him. So, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I come to you in prayer with deep thanksgiving, with gratitude, thankfulness, Father, of your compassion, of your love for all of mankind, for this world that you created, and for your excitement to rule and reign on this earth and to be back and establish your kingdom here. So, Father, as you are so excited about people's hearts and reaching those that are lost and taking out the dark spots and putting in the good, I just praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be your student myself and to share what I've learned. And I just thank you for this, and I just praise you, God, and I commit this show into your hands. And thank you, Father, as you teach us about real love, your love, what you are made of, because you are love versus counterfeit love. So thank you, God, and we just turn this over to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So you can call this show, and we can ask you if you would like. The call-in number is 646-787-8522. And I'm not sure why I just said we can talk to you, because there's only me and my puppy sitting here. So anyway, I'm excited, a little nervous. It's always hard to be vulnerable, to share your stuff. I spent so many years with walls around me. I never cried. I didn't have any emotion. I was so completely numb to life. And it took me until age 50 to allow those walls to be taken down and just to plunge out here in the world and say, wow, my life is more than half over probably. And so I want to experience what God really meant for it to be. So from that point forward, which is 5 years now, I have let the walls down. I've loved, and I received a blessing that I wasn't expecting. God poured His love into my heart, and my heart became so open for people that it's just amazing what God will do. But He put a love inside of my heart for the lost and the brokenhearted, and those that are on the sidelines, those wounded that were marching along and got wounded and are on the side of the road, and I want to stop and help them get back on their journey because their lives aren't over. And so tonight, the journey topic is real versus counterfeit love. And so I'll share a little bit about what happened to make me think deeper on this subject. My husband and I were just so excited to meet some people, some fellow Christians, and in person. And we were just really excited because we want to expand, our world and have friends and fellowship and just grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And iron sharpens iron, and there's nothing better if you've experienced that moment than being right at that feeling and having that that experience. And so when we went to meet with them, we did. I'm telling you, we had an awesome time. And but something felt off, and that's the best way I know how to explain it, is that something just felt strange. And everything was fine. I can't even tell you, like, there was something specific that I could put my finger on and tell you so and so said this or so and so did that to make me to come to this point to have the show tonight. But when we left, we both looked at each other and we said, well, there was just this heaviness on us and everything just moved so fast. And we said, you know, are we just that far behind in understanding the Bible? And, you know, we've been just doing our prayer and Bible study and seeking God for 5 years here, day and night. I've been chasing after God, not just seeking Him. I literally have been chasing after Him. And so we began to question things. And then as we questioned things amongst ourselves and just went into prayer with God on that subject, my husband had a conversation with one of the people that had been present. And that conversation was actually only a few sentences of texting, but it turned into a nightmare of an explosion of some kind of control and fear and confusion and hurt. And words were said and things happened. And to make a long story short, the people that I went to meet and just opened up my heart to and made myself vulnerable to decided that I was not their friend anymore while I was asleep at night and didn't even know anything was wrong. And I woke up and found out that there had been a whole explosion of conversation about me, about my husband. And you know, it just made me sick in my stomach. It made me drop immediately to my knees. And without even having words or saying what happened, you know, I cried. I just cried because my heart was so broken that I had opened it and I felt hurt. And the strange part is I didn't even know what happened. It was just so much confusion. I didn't even know what happened. So it made me really step back, spend a lot of time with God, and work through what does God say about these kind of things? And I have to tell you, this was a very painful thing to walk through. And I'm certain everyone that is listening has experienced something similar. And the best word that I can put to it is like, and this may even be the wrong word, so I am open to discussion. And I don't even have all the words yet, but it felt like a deception. It felt like I had been deceived, that I was loved, that I was a part of a group, that I was equal to and had as much say and could do some give and take and conversation to come to understanding. But none of that was the case. So I was reading scripture, and I got to the book of Acts, chapter 7, where Stephen was being stoned. And it begins in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Well, when I read the scripture, I began to take note of all the times in scripture it says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places. But this scripture says that Jesus was standing up. So as a parent guards over their children, Jesus guards over us. He is watching everything that is happening. And when something happens to one of his children, he will stand up for them. He stood up and he took notice and he opened the heavens so that Stephen, who was being martyred, could see him. And I just think that is an awesome expression of God's love to us. And I would like to remind anyone who has experienced a hurt deep in their heart to know that Jesus came for the brokenhearted, that when someone is hurt, he is standing up from his throne and he is taking notice of what is happening in your life. Now, in 1 John 2, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been, they would have continued. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." And this is the point that I wanted to get to. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." The Antichrist is talking about in the scripture is a spirit. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of denying Jesus, of denying Jesus' position. Real love is defined in the Bible very clearly. But we have to pay attention to that definition or we will be fooled by the counterfeit. So I decided to start thinking about counterfeit love versus real love. Okay, there's not many people who haven't heard of 1 Corinthians 13. If you've been to a wedding, You probably heard it read there. But 1 Corinthians 13, God gives us a definition of love. And I'm going to get to that, but I thought we would talk for a few minutes about authentic versus counterfeit. And so, again, I remind you of the scriptures that we just read in 1 John, that there is an anointing that the Holy Spirit has given to us so that we can know that he puts it in us to know in our hearts when something's wrong. Throughout the Bible, we see that everything that Satan does is a counterfeit of an aspect of God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as angels of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." So, Paul called counterfeits masquerades. That's a word that's used commonly in our culture. So most of us know what a masquerade is. A masquerade is to masquerade means to have an appearance that is a mere disguise. Okay, so myself, I have to tell you, if you ever meet me, I'm sure there's some degree of me that may be masqueraded, but I'm pretty much an all-out there person. I just show you who I am. I lived a double life for most of my life, and again, like I said, this show isn't about that, but it was so heavy to wear that darkness on me. It nearly crushed me and took my very life from me. And when the Lord put his Holy Spirit inside of me and that light began to break forth and come out of me, I shed all that darkness. And I don't want to walk around with any mask on or to masquerade anything. I want to be who I am. And I want people to lovingly say to me, "Mitzi, you're doing this, but I think there might be a better way, or I think you misunderstand, or I think you need to change this." And I'm married, okay, I live with my husband, and I love my husband so much. He's just the most awesome person in my life. And he knows I don't like correction any more than the next person. But my own mom, when I was probably in my 20s or 30s, and one of the nicest compliments she ever paid me, she said to me, "Mitzi, when you find out you're doing something wrong, you change it faster than anybody I know. You are so quick to change it." And that's what I want to be like, is just be who I am, and I hope you're who you are. So I tend to think people are like I am. And I know that's not the truth, but we tend to do that with people. We look at them, we say, "Oh, everybody's good, and they have good in them." And especially if they're in church and we're talking about God, they're Christians. And I get so excited because God gave me this extra measure of love inside of me for his people and for people everywhere. And my heart was just wide open through this weekend. And sometimes God says to us, "Wow, you have to slow down." He tells us, "Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good." He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, to test everything and to examine it. Okay, so if we're going to test something and examine it, then that means that we're going to have to take some time and look at it. Because the devil is not a creative being, he operates his kingdom by masquerading as light. So If you study the nature of the devil throughout the Bible, you'll find that the only thing he can do is he can take something that God has already created and he distorts it into something different. And he makes it a negative thing, whereas God meant it to be something good. So the nature of Satan is as a thief. He is only here to steal, kill, and destroy, which is, God tells us in John 10:10. So if Satan is here and he's everything he does is a counterfeit, that already tells us that he had to steal the authentic to make it a counterfeit. And we are still caught up in our society, everything that glitters is gold, when the truth of the matter is that is absolutely not true. That is totally false. If it looks too good to be true, as probably most of us heard from our parents, the truth is it probably is. And I love to see the good in people, and it's really hard for me to see the bad. And so I have to pay attention. I'm speaking to myself about this tonight as far as everything that glitters is not gold. Light and darkness exist in both. Truth and lies are realities that that we must not ignore. So it's really important while we're pursuing light and truth and the authentic to be aware that counterfeits do exist and that they are harmful and that we do need to examine everything. So how do we test to see if something is the counterfeit? Okay, probably all of us, especially as teenagers, we fall in love and we really think that that feeling that we have is going to last forever and that it is true love. And we are going by our feelings. What do we test it against? Wow, we haven't felt this before. We don't even know what we're getting ready to test it against because there's like nothing to test it with. It's our first experience at falling in love with someone. So if we're going to test to determine whether something is counterfeit or it's authentic, we have to determine the source that it comes from. And so that's like testing of the authenticity is always about the origin. So when you have money and you have counterfeit money, then you know that the origin of the counterfeit is not from the same printing press, that there's the whole process of making money. And I don't want to talk about all that, but that's just a simple example that we can use, or artwork, if you have a painting by Monet and the original one, a counterfeit can look exactly like it. I wouldn't be able to tell you the difference, but the truth is one is authentic and another can be a counterfeit, and so you have to go back to the source. And, well, the same is true for the spirit realm. So in the spirit realm, the origin of the authentic, of course, is God. And I don't think that the world understands how the Holy Spirit moves and operates and the gifts of the Spirit. So we have an entire culture of New Agers who move in some sort of power. And we look at that and, you know, people tend to do different things. Some people just totally stay away from all these things that I'm talking about, like the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and about power of in the supernatural world because they're afraid of it. And there are people walking around in the counterfeit part of power. And then there are those that are walking around in the authentic. Now, because we just went over the scriptures that tell us to test these things, that means it's not easy to know which is which. There, you know, it's like there are these lines that are so close, it's difficult to know which one's which. Even for a seasoned believer, we can get caught up in something easily. So let's see, where did I really want to go with this? The counterfeit and the authentic always look similar. So the test is the origin. And, you know, when Moses and Aaron were sent to Pharaoh, God said to Moses, he said, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. Now, at that time in history, magicians were known for turning their staff into snakes. So, you know, here God is telling Moses and Aaron to do this thing that was linked to magic at their era and time. And they obeyed, and they threw the... And so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned his wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staff. So if God is our source, we will always be able to defeat the counterfeit. The sorcerers performed an identical miracle. The only difference was the source, and Moses was sent from God. The sorcerers operated through the occult, their arts, their secret arts, I think that's what they term that they use. So we don't have to be afraid because the counterfeit and the authentic look the same, or worry what others are going to say about us. Because if God is the source of our actions, then other powers will always be defeated. And so that's how close counterfeit and real walk hand in hand. They walk link in link. It's just they interweave with each other. So Satan takes what God intends for good, such as power, and he interweaves it so closely with that counterfeit that it's very difficult to understand which one is the truth. So, also, New Age throughout the last few years have adopted many Christian terms that were only used in Christianity until, you know, maybe last 10 years or so. And so you can hear them saying that Jesus was a good prophet or this amazing man that walked the earth, but they will not be able to say that. That he is God. In Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So according to this scripture, a person must acknowledge Jesus was raised from the dead, and that Jesus is the Lord of his or her life. If a person is not willing to agree with those two things, they are operating from a source other than the true Jesus of the Bible. So the test of what power source a person is operating from can be boiled down to that question, is Jesus the Lord of this person's life? So to those who are my faithful listeners, they already know, but to you that may be listening for the first time, I operated in the, I hate to say the word occult, I don't even know what you would really, to me it seemed harmless at the time, but I operated as a psychic for about 10 years and studied under someone very closely. And I have already explained what the difference are as far as the dark way you can enter into power or operate in it. And we just took a good look at how we can tell when it's counterfeit versus real. So spiritual practitioners who access and operate in the spirit without Jesus as the Lord of their lives are trespassers in the spirit realm. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. So are psychics operating in real power? Yes, they are, ladies and gentlemen. Psychics do operate in real power, but they are trespassers in the spirit world, and they have not accessed the spirit realm through Jesus. And God says that all the realms are His in Matthew 11:25, and that there's only one way to access these realms, and there's only one way to have relationship with the Father, and that is through His Son, Jesus. So to have a correct relationship with God, and when you have that, all the heaven realms are opened up to you, including the spirit realms. And we could go through several scriptures on that. And you can see Colossians 3:1-3. And there's quite a few scriptures, but it says that they are open to us. So it is the authority of Jesus that protects us from the evil as we enter the spirit realm through Him. Now, we could take this subject into a whole direction here of the spirit realm and what happens there and traveling in the spirit, you know, operating in the counterfeit. It's called astral travel, astral projection. And I have experienced that, but in the spirit realm with God, if God wants you to be in the spirit realm, and He does, everybody, it's really exciting that there's so much I'm learning about this subject, so maybe we can take it in that direction. But for now, for the sake of understanding counterfeit love versus real love, we'll just come back down to our topic here. So God tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love suffers long and is kind. Love would suffer rather all abuses against itself in order to win the other. It does not focus on itself and how badly it was treated. Rather, it was treated badly, really? Treated badly because it's an imagined thing that hurt them. So love does not think evil of another when there is no clear evidence, not even if there are all sorts of rumors spoken against that person. The sin of evil thinking is mentioned in other places in the Bible under such descriptions as evil speaking, and slander, and accusation against elders. The first Psalm 1:1, divides the godly and ungodly by this test. The ungodly sit in the seat of the scornful. Scornful people look down on other people as lower than themselves. This is the very first psalm of the Bible. So I'm just going to turn there. I'm going to read that again because I think that's important. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So, love would rather suffer. Love would suffer rather all abuses against itself in order to win the other over. So, love is not going to be easily offended. Love is not going to react out of fear. Love is going to be patient and gentle and kind as it looks over a matter, as it may, the person's ears may perk up and say, wow, what just happened? Did somebody say that about me? Did somebody question me? Is somebody here to hurt me? But if they have godly love, they are going to be patient and they're going to take the time and they're going to look at the matter. Sorry, you guys. So, real love, you know, God tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments such as the ones we have considered here define love. Sorry, I've got like two more pages of notes and we're running out of time, so I'm getting excited about what to talk about. But God tells us not to speak evil of one another. He tells us, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So how does a person bear false witness against a neighbor? They intentionally overstate or exaggerate their actions, convey some sort of false impression to the person they're speaking about. They hint or insinuate that the person may have evil motives. They can state things as facts when they're not even really facts, or they can suppress facts. But all those things come under the class of bearing false witness, and they are not tools of love, but they're devilish lust. So true justice or love never exaggerates the evil of another in order to advantage its own case. It would rather suffer loss itself than have the other suffer loss. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments define love. They help us discern whether our good feelings, which we think are love, are actually the real thing, or are they merely lust? So we could go back to when you're a teenager and you think you're falling in love, and we can all look back and say, no, that probably was not real love, because we're children and we have feelings and it's exciting, and all of a sudden that guy looks different than he did a couple years ago, and what he says is funny and seems smart when a couple years earlier, as you grew up in the same neighborhood, he was just the kid across the street. And you may, as a teenager, even have that a love for a person, but it's not a mature love. Or a few people, and I do have some friends that are just so awesome that got married as teenagers, and they've been married, 35 years or so now, 40 years, that are my friends. So, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't find that real love there, but I'm just trying to point out and take it a little bit out of this depth of spiritual talk. So as if it's the real thing or merely lust, and they save us from trampling upon the rights of another. So with the commandments, God's trying to say to us, treat each other with respect, treat each other with love, and you don't have to trample upon each other. There are guidelines that I set up for each of you to be able to communicate and get along. So in God's kingdom, there is justice for everybody. God never sacrifices the rights of one in order to help the others. The only kind of sacrifice in God's kingdom is self-sacrifice. And self-sacrifice is the only real love and the only kind of love that will endure all the way into the end. Because if you're in it for yourself, you will not endure. You will jump out. You will move. You will get rid of people. You will do whatever your goal is that you have set for yourself to move forward. So it says, in the book of Revelation, there's a battle that will take place on earth, a battle between true love and false love. And it's in Revelation 14. Those who stand on God's side will keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is simply just another way of saying that they possess and practice true love, the love of God. It says, they shall be known by their love. There will be no lies in their mouth, and they will be without fault before God's throne. Yet the rest of the world will call them liars, heretics, deceivers, and the worst threat to human society. After trying bribes, threats, and persecution, they will even sentence them to death. Same kind of treatment that Jesus received when he was in the world. And he said, the servant is not greater than his master. So those who pursue true love must expect the same treatment. And so we're at a time, everyone, where things can seem simple. I mean, all I'm talking about is love. It's just a four-letter word. We hear about it early in life. We experience it in our families. We experience it when we reach out from our families and, you know, college age, high school. And it just goes on and on. And when we become a Christian, we find out that there is a love that God offers to us, and that love is a pure, deep love that is self-sacrificing. And, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that none should perish but have everlasting life. God loved us however you say that word. God loved us so much that he, selflessly, thank you, that he was willing to part from Jesus and allow Jesus to come down here, be made human, to go through his suffering and to die on that cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be reunited with him. And that's a major thing. I mean, we've all heard it so much that I think sometimes we tend to forget how awesome it is that God would do that for us. And he's asking us to do the same thing. He's asking us to reach out and love each other with a self-sacrificing love. And so how can you know if it's a counterfeit? Well, if it's a counterfeit, all you have to do is question the source of what the person is speaking from. Are they speaking to you and acting towards you out of a self-sacrificing love, out of a love that God explains to us in 1 Corinthians 13? And even if they're operating in power, you see that power, and that is amazing. You may see them perform miracles. You may see them heal someone. But even if they're operating out of that power, it does not mean that they love God and they're serving God. But as we saw in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, they need to be able to say with their mouth that they believe that Jesus died and was resurrected and that he is Lord. And so I'm just really happy to say that God loves us so much and he loves our hearts. And when they are hurt and others hurt us, what does he tell us to do? He says, forgive them. Just forgive them. Forgive them how many times? 7 times 70. You know, he that was in a day, I think, that scripture meant. So God tells us to just keep doing our part, to keep showing love, to keep forgiving, not to let a root of bitterness get into our own hearts, but to pour out his love, because love covers a multitude of sins. And even though my heart was wounded in a way that I had never felt before, God is faithful to reach in there and to comfort. He says his Holy Spirit is a comforter, and he will send him to us. And he tells us that there will be joy in the morning, and that we will be dancing and singing and happy, and that he has plans for us that are so great that we just can't even imagine how awesome they are. And they are unfolding daily, everyone, daily. So stay close to God. If you have questions about things, step back, take your time, and evaluate. That's what God asked you to do. All right, Healing Hearts His Way. HealingHeartsHisWay.com is the website if you would like to email. And just remember, I will be back next week, Tuesdays at 6. And you can call in to chat at 646-787-8522. Thank you.